This is writer Kyle Higgins, and you've jumped inside the Pull Bag, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the Pull Bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the Pull Bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the Pull Bag.
Hello and welcome to the Pull Bag. This is episode 525. Holy crap. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me in this radiant discussion is my turtle brother, Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, sir. I am well. This is not a Ninja Turtles podcast.
No, this is not a Turtles podcast. I don't know how many people have listened to us in the last 9.5 years do the Turtles comics podcast from IDW, but this is something very different for you.
Indeed. I appreciate it, though, because this is the first non-Turtles thing I've bought in a very long time. I need something else to add to my pull bag at my shop. Not that IDW doesn't keep my comic store open already by right. All of Turtle variants and spin-offs and crossovers that they produce, but it was kind of nice to read something a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main reason why, and we've done this before, so Radiant Black started 2 years ago in 2021. I remember it like it was yesterday because issue one came out the day after my 41st birthday. It came out February 10th. I almost said 1998. Yikes. 2021. And the reason why I got attached to it or latched onto it was because I know the writer, and I've actually interviewed the writer on the podcast. I interviewed Kyle Higgins about 10 years ago now. Wow. It was April or May of 2013 that I interviewed him. Back then he was doing stuff for DC with Nightwing and other things and all that stuff, and since then he's done so much more with creating the Black Market narrative and all the stuff he's doing over at Image Comics with Radiant Black and everything else. So we have covered – oh, crap. I should mute my phone. Yikes. I can't believe I didn't do that. Holy crap.
Professional here.
Yeah, really.
I'm the psychic.
Professional. I feel like I'm riding in a sidecar. I can't even fit in a sidecar. Anyway. Radiant Black launched back in 2021. We have covered the first 5 issues in the past with other co-hosts. Sadly, those co-hosts are not going to be returning. So since I think right now, as the sound of my voice is coming through your speakers or whatever you're listening to this on, we have 3 full volumes. I think volume 4 is coming soon. I don't have that date in front of me, but we have 3 full volumes of Radiant Black, and we're going to talk about it in trade. And the back of the book basically says, Nathan Burnett has just turned 30, and things aren't great. He's working and failing at 2 jobs, his credit card debt is piling up, and his only move is moving back home with his parents. But when Nathan discovers and unlocks the ethereal cosmic power, Radiant, he's given the power to radically change his fortunes. There's just one problem. The powers don't belong to him. And the cosmic beings who created them want them back by any means necessary. Dun-dun-dun-dun. So, Radiant Black. Wow. Obviously we're going to start here at the beginning. But what were your initial thoughts after reading this trade?
Well, I've had this on my radar for, I guess, as long as it's been coming out. 2021 doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it has been. But the logo jumped out at me, and because I love space and science and the black hole thing. Like, yeah. Oh, all right, I can see. I expect that to be pretty good. Okay. And when I went to my store to pick it up and looked at it, the front of the cover has Robert Kirkman of Invincible and Walking Dead fame, little quote there that says, "The perfect superhero comic for anyone missing Invincible." And I read Invincible for a very long time until I predicted, or until it got predictable, that whenever the big bad climactic battle was going to happen, Invincible was going to have his head crushed and his eyeball would fly out. Like, that literally happened like 3 times. And then he puts himself back together and heals. But I was like, you know, what I did like about Invincible was that it was very down to earth in the beginning, kind of realistic day to day. This is my life. And Robert Kirkman, I think, does a really good job of writing dialogue and characters. And so that part about it, I did enjoy. And so I guess to get that praise from Robert Kirkman, comparing it to Invincible, like, okay, I'm after the logo, I'm on board to check it out. After the Robert Kirkman, comparing it to Invincible comes out, okay, now I'm a little more on board. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the attitude I went into reading it.
And just to get the rest of the creative out of the way before I forget, Kyle Higgins on writing, Marcelo Costa on art. He's done some Transformers stuff. I think Marcelo has also done a couple of Turtles issues.
I recognize that name, yeah.
Co-writer is Cherish Chen. She co-wrote on issue 6, I believe. Guest artists are Eduardo Ferragato and Darko LaFuente. I wonder if that's any relation to Joanna LaFuente over at IDW, who does a lot of the colors for Transformers and stuff. Guest colorist Natalia Marquez, Miguel Murto, Rod Fernandez. The letterer was Becca Carey. The series logo was designed by Rich Bloom. Editor and designer is Michael Basutu. And the production artist is Deanna Phelps.
So I guess everybody over there at Image, you have Rich Bloom to thank for me deciding that this was a book that I wanted to read.
Absolutely. We start with chapter 1. Parentheses, not so, parentheses, secret origin. And we start out with $46.98. However, we are in the red for $38,486. Yikes.
So, yeah, the whole day-to-day life thing, like, I'm sure that is a situation that some of us can relate to as being in debt, credit card debt or otherwise, student debt. And not having the money to make it. I think this is very much a millennial's story.
It kind of feels that way a little bit, but it also kind of feels like when I first read this 2 years ago, and even now reading it again for the issues 1 through 5, I have read 3 times. Issues 1 through 6, I should say, I've read 3 times because I read it the first time when we were going to do the podcast. I reread it when we were going to do something else about the first 6 issues, and now I reread it now for obviously us covering it here. And initially 2 years ago we'll get to the second character here in a few moments, but Nathan Burnett, I'm like, okay, he's Dante from Clerks.
Yeah.
And then later when we'll meet the other character, I'm like, okay, that character is Randall. From Clerks.
Oh my God, you're right.
So Nathan here is drivering or whatever. I think it's called driver. It's basically a Uber, Lyft, whatever. So he's doing that.
Economy driver, yeah.
Yeah. And we get another shot of the logo here. I love the logo. It's so cool. Absolutely love it. And we go back to Lockport, Illinois, 1 week later. Nathan has come home, and his mother could not be more happier to see him. And then we meet his best friend, Marshall.
I want to see what his shirt says.
His shirt says Crisis Couture. Who is Crisis Couture.
Yeah.
Who is the band that plays the Radiant Black theme song?
Oh, you sent you.
I sent you the.
Mike sent me the soundtrack to this, and I forgot to listen to it while reading the book. Dang it. Okay. That was I had that planned out, and I forgot to do it.
It's okay. Yeah, I sent you the score that Sam Ewing did for the six issues. However, I don't think I sent you the video or the audio for the Crisis Couturist. It's a kind of a rocky metal kind of. It's really, really cool. I'll have to send you that after the show. So, yeah, Marshall is here tonight. You and me and McGee. Nope, just like old times, I want to hear about all the cool stuff Mr. Big Time Writer has going on. And they go to a restaurant or bar or something, and Marshall's like, $38,000? What in the hell? And they go back and forth. Marshall is clearly drunk. Sort of. And then they start seeing this blue and black hole kind of thing in the sky. And wow. Yeah.
This is something that I would like to see in live action, because I have a feeling you can't really capture what that thing is, because yes, it looks like it's in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
But the three panels here, dude, check this out. It looks like it's the same from every angle, and you see that it's not actually far away. It's right next to their face.
Mm-hmm.
As he reaches out to touch the thing.
I think it would be best in animation.
Yeah, after Spider-Verse, Return of the Spider-Verse, whatever. That's abstract expressionism in film, and I absolutely love that. And I think you're right that this would kind of capture that.
And yeah, so Nathan touches the Radiant. It kind of imprints and infuses on him. He gets a anime magical girl kind of pose. And then he gets all suited up as Radiant Black. Of course, we don't know what the name is going to be just yet, because they haven't done that. Marshall's like, holy shit. I feel different. I got news for you, buddy. You look different. I love this. This is so cool. Can you feel that? Yes, I can feel it. Oh, God, I think I'm going to puke.
don't puke in the helmet.
Yeah, don't puke in the helmet. And you have no mouth hole. How are you doing that without a mouth hole? And the police show up. Oh, yeah, we're great. My buddy's just preventing a hangover. So Marshall's not too thrilled with police officers.
Yeah, he's kind of pulling that sovereign citizen stuff.
Yep, pretty much. And the train is coming. The train is coming. Oh, my God. Get off the tracks. They're private tracks. Are you out of your goddamn mind? There's a train. Nathan sees the train, dives after Marshall to get him out of the way, somehow levitates the cops and the train.
That's a lot of power.
That's a lot of power.
I didn't realize he levitated the train. I thought those are like container boxes or something, but no, that's the train.
No, that's the train. That's the train and the police car.
Yep.
At the same time.
Isn't going to hit him.
Nope. And like Marshall said earlier, holy shit. Marshall's like, are you going to arrest us? What? Are you going to arrest us? If you promise not to arrest us, we'll let you down. That's extorting an officer. Okay. Josh, what did they do? How do you even write this up? I'm not equipped for heights, man. And yeah, they fly off. What do you think of the art?
The art's all right. I think there were a couple of times where I had a hard time telling the difference between the characters. I got to look more closely at the hairstyles. Uh-huh. And that's, I don't know if that's not a criticism. I think generic white dudes look like generic white dudes in comics.
Right. Well, the best way to tell them apart is Marshall's hair is kind of like, you know, just flat.
Yeah, short.
And hangs down, whereas Nathan's hair, the front of his hair kind of like shoots out like some sort of anime character a little bit. We have them talking and, you know, Nathan is like, what if I screw this up too? And I have this and whatever it is, I know it's important. I mean, I can fly and lift trains and, oh man, it felt so amazing that the stakes just got a lot higher. I can't screw this up too. And Marshall's like, I won't let you. Meanwhile, in another part of Chicago, Radiant Red is robbing a bank. And that's how the first issue / the first chapter ends. There's more than one of them. Yep. I remember when issue one came out, I'm like, damn it, I have to wait a month to find out what happens.
That's my world, Mike. That's how I feel.
I know.
I pay money to experience that.
I used to.
It's been an interesting and ongoing conversation with my wife because we took our two kids to see the Spider-Verse movie, and that ends on a very episode 5-like cliffhanger. And my kids were just totally upset, and it's because they come from the YouTube generation and the Netflix generation mm-hmm. where you just click next episode. Mm-hmm. And they never had that. I don't like calling it delayed gratification because that's slightly different and it implies something else. But my kids have gotten used to being able to just go to that next episode, issue, page. And, you know, like what happens now when you have to wait a month for them to actually draw the book or make the movie?
Yep, exactly. A pretty solid first chapter, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if I should say this now, and then I'll figure it out as I'm reminded through the book. But I'm having a hard time feeling sympathy for the characters because generic white dude number one who gets the superpowers. Gosh, what's his name?
Nathan.
Nathan he's kind of washed up and I don't want to say lazy, but he's not all there for like going after his future, and he's reluctant with the power suit, and he doesn't have a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And then generic white dude number two,
Marshall,
is obnoxious and pushy and overly confident. And right. Like he's the one that never left town. He doesn't have any room to talk.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of sympathy for those characters. And then you know, Radiant Red, who's wearing a similar super suit, is robbing a bank.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Like, okay, I don't like anybody. But let's see what happens because, you know.
Well, I mean, change. I think
people grow.
Yeah, people change, people grow. But I think starting off as a comic, like you said, kind of real world, kind of like mm-hmm. this is a guy who's down on his luck, who is a writer who isn't getting paid to write stuff yet. Or he has written stuff in the past, but it's dried up, and he's in debt. And we've all been in debt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody can relate to that, whether it's $38,000 or not. It doesn't matter. If you're in the red, you're in the red. Anyone can relate to that. And then Marshall is just this guy who kind of...
He measures success by his own ruler.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean...
he's happy.
Yeah. He's
going through life.
Yeah. He's in his hometown. He's, you know, doing what he loves. He's watching all these movies. He's doing all this stuff that, you know, he's fine being where he is. He doesn't have the desire to go travel or go see the world or whatever. He's just this character that... is okay being where he is, I think, at least at this initial chapter. Issue 2, Chapter 2, Better Off Red. And we start in Lockport, Illinois, with Nathan coming home at the crack of dawn and thinking he's not going to see his parents, but he sees his dad. His dad makes him oatmeal. They have a conversation. This is where I mentioned about him not being paid for writing, and his father is what is your plan to have money? Yes, you can stay here with us, but the deal is you have to have a job, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And that's, hey, you know what? Same thing. Anybody goes to their parents and says, hey, I'm $30,000 in debt. Well, you can stay here. That's fine. You can stay with us. We had, you know, your room is still here. It's whatever, but you have to be working. You have to have some sort of plan. And that's the conversation that they're having here. So,
yep. Tough love.
Tough love and all that. Which is, again, this feels like a real world comic. This does not feel like your normal everyday Alfred gives Batman some advice and Batman ignores it because Batman knows, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a, it's an overall superhero book kind of thing, but it's also more than that. Actually, one of the jokes in the Radiant Black community, in the Kyle Higgins Black Market Narrative Image Comics community, is nobody really knows what this comic is. Nobody can really define it. It's not really superhero. It's kind of sci-fi, but like, so one of the jokes is that nobody knows what the comic is yet. So
I've been a little upset. Not upset. That's a joke. I've been bothered or upset by both this book and Robert Kirkman's Tech Jacket. Because between those two books, if you like mashed them together, you'd end up with the character that I invented for myself way back in high school and that I've constantly been drawing between then and now. And it's in my head as like, I want to make this a comic someday if I didn't draw so slow and so inconsistently. But I see everybody doing my idea, but doing it so much better than I could do it. And I'm like, dang it. Here it is again. This guy did it. Man.
Yep.
Now, if I do it, it'll be like I'm ripping Robert Kirkman and Higgins off here.
So we go to the movie theater or the movie rental place or whatever this is. And Marshall is trying to sell bath bombs. And so he has a more conversation with this customer, and the customer is like, any shot we could swap this out for another bathtub movie, Arthur or Maverick or maybe Lebowski? I don't like Harrison Ford. I have no words right now, is what Marshall says. And then the police show up again. Oh, boy. Well, that's got to be a first. The police show up, and then we see all this radiant language. It's a weird kind of, like, sensation. It's kind of showing that Nathan is dreaming, or he thinks he's dreaming, and there's a knock at the door, and then all of a sudden he's levitated, like, 3 feet above his bed.
Makes the Ghostbusters reference. Anybody seen the Keymaster?
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty quick. I'd be a little more scared than to think of a reference.
And he tells the Radiant, all right, come on, you gotta go away. And he answers the door. The cops and Marshall, hello, Nathan. And they have a conversation. And then Nathan's mother comes up and, they basically fake the whole thing for her. So they're going to figure out what these powers are, but the cops tell them about Radiant Red and the bank robbery. And there's another Radiant person out there somewhere.
At this point, they're not calling him or the Red Radiant anything yet.
Yeah,
what we're using. Yeah. Because they haven't decided or they don't have that language yet. But
yeah.
It's for your convenience, fans, that and good listeners, that we are using that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, it's been 2 years. We're going to spoil the hell out of this thing. So if you haven't read it by now, stop listening and go read it. So Nathan has an idea of doing his drivering and talking to his passengers, and this does and does not work. And man, some of the people in this, these on these car rides with him, holy crap.
I had a friend who drove Uber out in California, LA. And it's as bad as you could imagine. And this is tame compared to some of the things he was telling me went on. He did have the person who got sick in his back seat, and he had to fight for Uber to
clean his car.
To pay for that, yeah.
So we finally get to a meeting between Radiant Black and Radiant Red.
As one of his riders tells him, yeah, there's this weird stuff going on at the junkyard. And so he and Nathan go out there. He powers up the suit.
Yeah. Please still be there. Please still be there. Please still be there. And so he chases Radiant Red, who's driving this car, and he basically flies after her, levitates the car, and yeah, very again, I love the art. I love the colors.
Yeah, this is some good stuff here.
Yeah, for sure. So good.
Very dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's this suit, like he grabs this little black hole, puts it into his chest, and now they're fighting, and the way that the puke worked, where the mask just kind of got out of the way, it's like techno-organic. It's like a part of his skin, even though it kind of looks like a helmet. And Radiant Red knees him in the face and cracks the helmet, and there's like this little glint of light escaping through the helmet. Beautifully colored as well, too. But I'm interested in seeing kind of the nerdy science stuff about what these suits are. I'm looking for those things as the story goes through. But yes, Red is escaping in a car. Radiant Black catches the car as it goes off a bridge and levitates it back up.
He's like, I got the train. I can catch a car. So he lifts the car and he gets the money back and he returns the money. Don't know what happens to Radiant Red, but at least not yet. I do love the note that he put on the bag. I think we lost this.
Had the conversation awesome. About what his name is called, or did he just like draw this little simple logo?
I think didn't they go train already? Or is that this day? Yeah.
I don't remember reading that, so I think it's this day.
Yeah, I think it's in chapter 3. Issue 3, I should say. So he has another conversation with his father, and somehow, some way, he made $200 tonight. Well then, extra raisins for you. Chapter 2 was fun. Issue 2 was fun. I like that he's getting to, like, he's still struggling with the powers, and that's always a good thing when you have someone who is just a normal human being, doesn't have, you know, isn't born on Krypton or, you know, whatever, and they come into superpowers, you pace and you figure out, you have them figure out how this thing is supposed to work. So that is going very well. Issue 3, chapter 3, writing day. We start out
life together.
Yep, start out at Lockport, Illinois, at his house. It's snow outside. And has another conversation with his dad, and then we get into Big Time by Nathan Burnett. Oh, boy. I did not read most of what the script is for this. I read his thoughts about what he needs to do to fix the book that he's writing.
Yeah, we get a couple pages of the book that he wants to write. I think it's implied that it's starting as a short story.
Yeah.
I think this character robbed a bank, lost her partner, but still has the money. And Nathan, as he finishes writing what we just read, is like, well, I don't know if I want to write how they robbed the bank or if I want to write who she becomes afterward. And he's just not sure about where to take it. He's hit that writer's block wall.
Yeah. My favorite panel on this is, I think, do you have the trade or the single issues?
I have the trade.
Okay, good. Page 65, where he's looking at the, he says, you crack this, you get a chapter or two done, take a little pause for lunch, another chapter before dinner, maybe break the next two before bed, and by this time tomorrow, and then it's just the cursor and the blank page on the Microsoft Word lookalike thing. And as someone who has been, as of next year, writing off and on for the last 20 years, I've got three books of poetry published that nobody has ever read, I don't think, other than some of my family members. That thing, that blank Microsoft Word white page with the black blinking cursor is a curse upon curse. Like, you stare, if you can't come up with an idea, you stare at that thing for hours and you just can't. So the Radiant starts talking to him, and he's kind of shaking it off, and then they have this really, really...
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here.
We have this thing. It looks like it's on the Microsoft Word page. It's part of a script. He says, "So what exactly did that mean? She couldn't wait to find out." And then there's this big Radiant with the big helmet guy thing, and then he's like, throw it out, shred it, burn it all. This is the opposite of Radiant. Wait, what? So that's interesting. Meanwhile, we go to Marshall, who's trying to figure out names for this is where the name stuff comes in, and this is where the training will come in later. The Vanguard, Darkness, already taken. Note to self, become a logo designer. Circle Guy, Mighty Morphin, lawsuit. Now, at this time, I believe Kyle had just come off writing his Mighty Morphin arc. He wrote Boom Studios Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from issue 1 to issue 30 with a special Shattered Grid number 1 issue as well. And that was one of the things 10 years ago, or 9 years ago at this point, but it'll be... Well, no, it is 10 years. Yeah, 2013 is when I interviewed him. So 10, a decade ago when I interviewed him, I asked him, I said, so what, you're working on Nightwing now. You absolutely love Dick Grayson. I love what you're doing with the character and the story that you're telling and all that. What other things would you eventually like to work on? And at that time, in that interview that you can hear on GeekCastRadio.com, he says that he would love to do a Power Rangers story like we've never seen before. At that, I think Power Rangers, I forget if it was 2016, 2017, 2018. It was within the last 5 years that Boom Studios launched Power Rangers. They launched two books, Go-Go Power Rangers and then Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And they do all kinds of things with Power Rangers now. But he was on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers book, and he wrote the first 30 issues leading up to Shattered Grid, which is where we get Lord Draken from, which is an evil Tommy Oliver and all that stuff.
That's interesting. I wonder if this feels like it could be a little Power Rangers-esque, like people in colored suits, Sentai.
Yep, a little bit.
They become the suit. The suit is them. Mm-hmm. Techno-organically. Yeah, I can see that now.
Yep. Yeah, a little bit. And it's good. I mean, you know, this is his original idea and all that, but it has homages and things, and
it rhymes.
Yeah. It rhymes.
George Lucas.
George Lucas can't sue anybody anymore, but the mouse can. So they come up with the name Radiant Black, and Nathan's like, come on, it's amazing. It's no Batman. Dude, Batman wasn't Batman. A name is just an empty vessel. It's nothing until you fill it with associations.
And I mean, I'll think about it. Too late. I already registered the social.
Yeah. Marshall, what the hell? Radiant Black. Hey, I'm the circle guy who gave back the money. Ah, so this takes place in 2020. December 1st, 2020 is when that tweet was made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I just pinched to zoom that panel of the comic because I can't read the date from where I'm. Oh, my God.
Yep.
It's a paper comic. I can't do that.
Right. You have the physical trade. See, I didn't need to pinch to zoom, but I can still do it.
I can pick the book up and put it closer to my face. I cannot believe I did that.
No, I used to do that. I do that all the time with books because my eyesight is just, yeah.
No, I mean just pinch to zoom? No.
I can't do that. But putting the book up to my face, I do that all the time with stuff if I can't read it. Yeah, if my face is not, like, 3 feet in front of the text, like, I won't be, like... Like, I'm sitting at my desk. My door is probably, to my apartment, is probably 20 steps away from where I am, maybe 15 steps. If there was a stop sign on my door, I could know that it's a stop sign because it's red and white and the octagonal or hexagonal shape of it. But I probably could not read STOP. Sitting where I am sitting right now. So
that means you are farsighted?
No, whatever. It means something.
Yeah, I always forget.
I always forget. Doesn't make any sense. Nope, that makes no sense. So Nathan starts writing in longhand, not typing. Elizabeth Beckett didn't recognize her life. What I love about this issue is that it's a mix of him trying to be a writer and then him trying to figure out the suit and how to be Radiant Black. I think that is super, super cool and awesome.
Yeah, it's a parallel course.
Yep.
And you can tell by the look on his face that he finally knows where his energy needs to go, like in both realms. And yeah, he doesn't recognize his life.
So we get to a point where some fan on Twitter, I'm just going to say it's Twitter because in the comic, it doesn't have like the Twitter logo or anything, but it has the exact placement of where Twitter posts have the time and the date, and it says tweet. So from Bull's hype account, and now we've got a flat on 355. Could really use that Radiant Black right about now. #LOL. Elizabeth Beckett, Elizabeth Beckett, Elizabeth Beckett. And we get to the...
Did you miss a page, or am I looking at something different?
What are you looking at?
There's a dude with a cape that broke into his room while he was writing.
Oh, yeah, I probably skipped that. This is his older self. This is this is Radiant Black, but it's Nathan.
That's Nathan, yeah.
But older. I don't understand. Why are you doing this? And he can't understand him. Who are you? I'm what you will never be, Nathan. Worth breathing. And it's basically older version of himself. And that's what when he wakes up and he starts, God damn it. And that's when the text message for the couple comes in.
Yeah.
And okay,
so that was a dream sequence there.
Yeah. Big old dream sequence. Yep. And he shows up and helps them with the flat tire. They have a conversation here. Let me get the jack set up for us. And this wrench goes with the nut lugs. You sure you know what you're doing here? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, snap. Get back. How does a superhero not know how to change a tire? So he basically just airlifts them to, mechanics or whatever. He goes back home and crashes again and falls asleep. And he wakes up and he starts writing. And what he writes is, Elizabeth Beckett didn't recognize her life. She'd gone from working at a bank's to robbing them. But now her partner was dead. She was on the run, a bag full of cash, and all the problems to go with it. Elizabeth Beckett had nowhere to go, so she moved back home. So it's a nice
telling
little
his life story.
Pretty much, as a female character. Nathan, you up? Nathan! And he's like, yeah, I'm writing. And then his dad asks him a question. Yeah, sure, that'd be great. And we end with Nathan. He says, me too. Oh, he says, his dad says, okay then, glad it was a productive day. Me too, this time. All right, so the writing day issue. What are your overall thoughts?
Story is progressing. We're seeing Nathan kind of get himself in gear as a writer and as a helpful hero person. Looking forward to seeing what he'll become. But I don't know what's coming at this point.
Yeah, nobody knows what's coming at this point. We get to chapter 4, Everything Changes. Dun, dun, dun. And we see Nathan in inside existence. Where? What is this? And the robot, I don't understand this or what you're saying. And now the funny thing is, they released I think they're sold out by now, but they released a radiant black box where they put in various things. They actually did make radiant black bath bombs. Sadly, I don't have a bathtub to use it in, but it smells nice. And inside of it, it has a card where you can actually figure out what letters or what numbers are the radiant text. So the radiant, if I figured out which squares and which squigglies these were based off the, I could probably understand what's happening here.
Text. That the key for that is on the back.
Yep, it's in the back of the trade too. Yeah.
I saw that and I didn't even think about coming back and translating the text in here, but now I got something to do when this podcast is over.
And hello, Nathan. Welcome to existence, and it's a giant robot.
Yeah, see, this would look good in the Tron aesthetic.
Uh huh. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yep.
So we get back to Lockport, Illinois, and we see Marshall's house. Marshall is eating black licorice.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly. Shares it with his dog. Yuck, don't feed the dog black licorice.
It's going to do something really nasty to his poo. You're going to clean that up later.
Yep, pretty much. And Nathan texts Marshall, you up? You doing anything today? And Marshall says there's a Soderberg marathon on the Criterion Channel, and you know I will never miss Out of Sight. What's up? I love that movie. I love Out of Sight.
I don't remember what it is.
Out of Sight is George Clooney, Jennifer Lopez, a bunch of other awesome people, where it's a kind of, oh God, I'm going to have to look it up, aren't I? Out of Sight is a crime comedy film, 1998, Steven Soderbergh directed it. It is the first of several collaborations between Soderbergh and actor George Clooney. It was released on June 26th. The plot is basically bank robber Jack Foley is caught after spur-of-the-moment robbery in Miami, sent to Glades Correctional Institution. He deduces that fellow inmate Chino is orchestrating a breakout, planning his blah, 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 blah. You know them. I'm pretty sure you've seen this at some point. Cast includes, like I said before, George Clooney, Jennifer Lopez, Ving Rhames, Don Cheadle, Steve Zahn, Albert Brooks, Dennis Farina, Luis Guzman, Isaiah Washington, Nancy Allen, Keith Lochner, Viola Davis, Paul Caldrell, Wendell B. Harris, Michael Keaton as Ray Nicolette, uncredited. Huh. Samuel L. Jackson as Tiara Henry, uncredited, and Connie Sawyer as Old Elevator Lady. There's a bunch of cool cameos and stuff. I love that movie. I need to watch that movie again. Thanks, Radiant Black. Thanks a lot, Radiant Black. So he said, Nathan says, need to practice. About time, then out of sight. And then they go to the middle of nowhere or whatever. They go out back where the snow is and all that, and they're going to practice, and they're going to practice on some poor Cowl action figures. So Cowl is – you still there?
Yes.
I want to make sure my monitor did something stupid. Okay, so Cowl is Kyle Higgins' other universe that he created, other comic series he wrote. It was a creator-owned series that he did about superhero labor unions in Chicago in, I think, the 50s, 40s, 50s, or 60s. I forget off the top of my head.
Huh.
Very, very good. So, yeah, they're going to practice on some Cowl action figures, those poor action figures. Oh, boy. We get a little blast, and the Gray Raven shall fly no more. And Nathan starts practicing a little more, and because Marshall is kind of like, he's being a best friend, but he's not intentionally being mean. He's just saying stuff. Your prose sucks. The Oxford comma is overrated. Chandler wishes you never read him. And then he says the last straw. He says, Justine would still be around if you knew how to conjugate. And this triggers Nathan, like his eyeballs just kind of bug out of his head. You mother!
I don't even need to get the key to translate that.
I know, but like, I want to translate that because I'm thinking it does say what we all think it says, and Nathan lets out this big old blast from the Radiant, and that's enough practice for today. And then we go back to the Radiant, and we go back to existence, and Nathan with the giant robot, and the giant robot says, communication is fundamental to any, parentheses, all good relationship, parentheses S, so relationships. Sure, yeah. He says, the robot says to Nathan, our connection is final, permanent, for the duration of your life. You are part of existence. But war is near soon. For the Radiant, he will kill you and you, your entire planet. To die is to lose everything. Will you do all that is required to save your species? Will you take his life? And we go back. I love the back and forth here between the scenes of the Radiant and the real life scenes between Marshall and Nathan and Marshall, I should say, because it's at first I thought it was going to take me out of the story, but it's more of like you said earlier, like his dream sequence that he has, and then he wakes up and does the whole writing. I like that. I think that's cool. That's interesting. So they're talking. They're basically saying a bunch of stuff, and they're talking about, Nathan says, I'm just being cautious. I still don't know what this is. And Marshall's like, counterpoint, you lack vision. What? So they have more of a conversation, and then boom, Radiant Red shows up. Hello, Nathan.
I think, wasn't this the conversation where he said, like, man, you should have been the one to grab
yeah.
Black Bolt. Because, yeah, Nathan, he's reluctant. He's unsure of himself. And I think there is something about the power that's helping him kind of get his life back on track. And Nathan's been laid back and just kind of letting life wash over him and go with the flow. But he's the one who's thought about being a superhero before. And yeah, knows what to do, because he's already figured it out. And so I think, like, that's happened at this point where he said, you should have this power, not me. But, you know, there they are. And then, yeah, bam, Radiant Red shows up here.
And they have one hell of a fight. Again, the art in this, that kind of... Yeah, this is
where the art really takes off.
Yep. Oh, man, so good. Absolutely love it. So this big old battle scene, Marshall tries to film it, but Radiant Red basically destroys his phone, and they figure out that she can absorb, that she has absorbing powers, and...
I should also like to point out to our listeners that you keep referring to Radiant Red as a she, but that is definitely a masculine musculature on this.
Yes.
And so we don't know that yet.
Yeah. So that, again, in the Radiant community, that was always a question of who is this Radiant? Are they a they, them? Are they a he, a she, or otherwise? And the reason why I keep referring to her as she is because I know that it's a she. Because, you know, I've read these six issues.
Mm-hmm.
So Radiant Red basically destroys Nathan. Marshall has to find him. Marshall digs him out of the rubble. Nathan, oh, my God, are you okay? Can you hear me? No, don't do this to me, man. Come back, please. You have to stay alive. And we go back to existence. Our connection is final, permanent, for the duration of your life. You are part of existence, but war is near, soon. For the Radiant, he will kill you and your entire planet. To die is to lose everything. Will you do all that is required to save your species? Will you take his life? And we see Nathan kind of, like, eyes closed and all that. And we have, you know, like, period parentheses. Then ye are world, you will die. He's not breathing. He's got no pulse. Help. Somebody help. Nathan doesn't look so good. Your friend is gone. Deceased. Our connection is final, permanent, for the duration of your life. You are part of existence. And Marshall is transported to existence.
Yep.
And we have the same speech.
Gets the same speech from the Daft Punk Lombardi robot.
Yep. And he's like, will you take his... Yes, I will take his life. And Marshall gets the Radiant at the end of issue 4, chapter 4, however you want to call it, chapter 4 for the trade here. What I love about this story is that it combines so many, like we mentioned, like some of the references. Like you said, you wouldn't have been able to come up with that reference if you were in the situation that they were in, kind of thing at the time, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, it's a story that feels homegrown, like it's a natural people every day. Like if I was writing a story about my own life and my boring ass life of being a podcaster and not really doing anything other than the podcasting, you know, I'm not saying that's what this is. I'm saying that there are two sides to this. There's the real world Nathan and Marshall hanging out, trying to figure out the powers. And then there's this other side with existence and the robot and the supernatural or the superhero or the sci-fi or however you want to label it. And it's so refreshing to read a comic like this.
Yeah, and we just spent four issues with this reluctant hero character. And now he's at the end of that issue, appears dead, and
yeah,
the power's gone to the other guy that we weren't really rooting for.
Yeah.
To the wacky sidekick who now is not the sidekick anymore. And there's a look of determination on his face and confidence as he grabs the black hole. And, you know, I mean, that's a twist that does not usually happen in the hero's journey. And so I'm excited by that, and like, okay, now I see what's going to happen. And now at this point, I'm wondering, well, is he going to come back? Is he going to want to give the powers up when his buddy's better? Is his buddy going to get better? Or is the Radiant Black comic about Nathan and not number one?
Marshall.
God dang it. I got to write this down.
Nathan is white dude number one. Marshall is white dude number two.
Now, is Marshall,
the
Radiant Black that we've been reading about and will continue to read about for subsequent issues. And don't spoil it for me because I don't know yet, but...
Yeah. Well, there is a lot going on currently. They are about to release issue 25 of this series, and we are about to get to the Catalyst War. And there was this whole vote of who should have the powers. And I'm not going to say anything more because, like you said, don't spoil it for you. But
you can come back and add an edit point later where you talk about all the spoilers after I'm.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll talk about it when we get to it.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, volume 2 and 3. Volume 2 will be at the end of June and issue episode 528, and then volume 3 will be the second week of July for episode 530. So we are full rate, you know. I wasn't sure who was going to do Radiant Black with me, and I wasn't sure if anyone was that interested in doing it with me. And Joe talked me into figuring out that I love the Ninja Turtles IDW comics when I initially was like, all of the damn bandanas are red. I don't want red bandanas.
On with these bandanas. I don't know what it is. You keep going about that.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. Yeah. And obvious, you know, 10 years later, red it all and purpled it all and oranged it all and everything else. So,
and you're further ahead than I am reading it.
Now I am at this point. Yeah. Right now, folks, it's probably going to be, I'm looking at the schedule right now, it will be episode 543 and 544 when we get back to TMNT Reborn in October of this year. However, we most likely will record those before then. So at least I have the content ready to go. I can just edit it and just set it to be published and all that good stuff. But Radiant Black, I think I said this earlier, I'll say it again. It's refreshing. It is, we don't know what it is, but it's a thing that, it's like one of those things where it's like, this is the comic we never knew we needed kind of thing. That's how I feel about it. It's just so good.
And being 4 or 5 issues in now, hard to tell with the trade paperback. I don't know if I'm going to end up liking these characters yet, and I'm really hoping that I do, or I like where the story goes. But despite that, it was just a couple of weeks ago I was in the shop talking to the owner. Like, you know, I need more comics to read. And I know there's like 1.5 million indie books and creator-owned books that I'm not even aware of that I would absolutely be loving, because the DC and Marvel books, you know, I love the characters, I love where they've been, I love the self-contained stories, but it's hard for me to do the ongoing with those books because I haven't been reading them forever.
Yeah.
And then they renumber when they try to invite me online with a number one. Well, they revert, and then I get confused, and then I get angry, and I stop reading it. So it's really hard for me to get into those mainline books, but. Yeah. All right, at the end of the day, do I really need to read more? I'd rather read from these independent creators telling interesting modern contemporary stories, because in 20 years, this is where they're going to get all of their movie content, you know, yeah, and do what we're reading now.
Yeah, exactly. Issue 5, Chapter 5, Aftermath. And we start with Nathan. Talk about great art. I mean, those are some really well-placed, drawn, and colored bruises. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you have a building fall on you. But they're trying to do CPR on him. Oh, my God. He looks so... He's not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. And Marshall kind of, like, upends the EMT guy or the police officer and... Nathan, come on, man. This isn't it. God damn it. Can't be. And he's in all kinds of denial, and Nathan kind of gurgles a little bit here. Was that a breath? Did he just breathe? We've got a shallow pulse. Oh, thank God. Thank God he's okay.
So, like, at this point, I'm like, oh, wait, he's still alive? Man, the Radiant just ditched him. He's not even dead. You said we were together till we're dead, but nope, he just split. He saw his out, and that Radiant's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go toward this guy who actually wants the power.
Yeah.
A little cold-blooded there, alien.
Very, very cold-blooded. So they transport him to the hospital. We see them load Nathan into an ambulance, and then Marshall just has these facial expressions of, oh my God. And he starts running down the hallway, or not the alleyway there. Hey man, you okay? And we see this black and blue light, and we see the Radiant flying above Marshall, which I thought that was Marshall, but we see this crash land, and it is Marshall, because he – see, that's one thing that did confuse me here.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Somebody's chasing him down the hall.
No. What it is I get it now. That's where I get confused. The guy, the dreadlock guy that says, hey, man, you okay? Marshall is running down the alleyway. It's kind of like a Power Rangers kind of move where it's like, nobody can see us, use our morphers and morph kind of thing. Yeah. But
Shazam!
yeah, Shazam. Mr. Dreadlock guy sees Marshall do the thing, and that's who's looking up. So it is Marshall as Radiant Black, and he is flying, and he crash lands, and no, I don't want it. You hear me? I don't want it. Huh.
But dude, you just said you'd kill that guy for me. No, he doesn't say that, but that's yeah. I have to forget that I can't narrate this because the listeners don't know that I'm not making that up. But he says he doesn't want it, but I think he does.
Yeah, he doesn't want it, but he does. And he has all these facial expressions as he lands in the snow, and he just says, fuck. Marshall, dude, I sympathize, because I've had that just defeated kind of like that moment of, like he says, fuck. It's just the only thing you can think of. It's the only thing that you can say to just like realize, oh, crap, there's so much going on in my life that, you know, this is all happening and everything else, and he's not ready for it. So we get a bunch of scenes with Marshall watching the Circle Guys news. These guys are from the Invincible comic, I think. I could be wrong. I remember them doing something with that, so I think that's where they're from. But it's Circle Guys News talking about Radiant Black, and Marshall just like, douchebags.
Yeah, I knew those three had to be somebody in the world that they're making fun of.
Yeah. Marshall sees that Nathan's parents have arrived. They have a conversation. And we get Nathan's father saying they're not seeing any brain activity. And Nathan's mother is just crying. And we see, before we flip this panel here, at least on the digital, we see, oh my God, how is he? Did you see him? What are they saying? We just came out. Okay, I need to see him right now. Kathy, I'm his godmother. So this is for you, Joe. This is not for everybody else that knows this already. Uh-huh. Everybody has Kathy conspiracies. Uh-huh. Like, even though she says she's Nathan's godmother, they're like, she's the real villain of the series. She's this, she's that, she's whatever. My biggest problem with Kathy is, number one, her attitude in wanting to see Nathan. And number two, the fact that the character's name is Kathy. My mom's name was Kathy, and my mom passed back in 2015. So I'm not really caring about Kathy here in this book.
All right, I got it. I'll keep my eye on Kathy as I continue to read forward.
Yeah, she shows up here and there. Marshall hears the Radiant. He kind of sees the Radiant. And we get Marshall inside of existence. Why do you keep saying Radiant? Our sync is progressing faster than Nathan Burnett. Good. You are ready. You're goddamn right I'm... and it says that existence, all that you are and are connected to, time, space, matter itself. But war is near soon. For the Radiant, he will kill you and your entire planet. We will prepare. It is my duty. He will try to shatter our connection. But our connection is final, permanent. For the duration of your life, you are part of existence. So he has to kill me and your entire species. What's his name?
Nothing.
Yeah, they don't answer that question. And then he asks all these questions of the robot. Again, the story, the art, just the way that this looks, it is just so, like, the whole, like, Marshall and the robot, the way that they're in existence, of the facial, the split face, kind of two-face kind of look, where half the face is Marshall, half the face is... I absolutely love that. Absolutely love it. It's just so damn good. So we get to Radiant Red, and she is saying, stupid, out of control... You wanted to handle it, etc., etc. And then, and the final thing she says, you can handle anything. Well, at least we agree on something. And Radiant Black shows up, asshole. You're alive. With some
wicked-looking fist glowies, because, like, I know he's going to do it better.
Yeah,
like he's got the confidence that it takes to do what he's doing.
Oh yeah, they don't. They look like he's holding like weights, like not. It's not a barbell or a dumbbell, but it looks like the weights that you would put on to be that. It also kind of reminds me of the Tron discs. He looks very Tronish in this panel here. You're alive, you made it. And we see that it's Marshall. No, he's in a coma because of you. And I want this. So I have my phone turned horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this full image. And I'm not even zooming. It's all the way the regular panel of the two of them just getting ready. I want this as a heart print. I want it on my wall, and I want it now. It's so good. It's one of the best panels of these six issues. It really is. So they have a fight, and Marshall says to Radiant Red, hey, eyes up. I'm not going to do like you did to Nathan. I want you to see this coming. And he just...
Boom.
Boom. And they're fighting in the middle of Chicago. Chicago, what a toddling town. And she's like, God damn it, stop it. Why, Marshall? Does it hurt? And she's absorbing or doing something to him, and they kind of end up in either Lake Michigan or something, and it's some sort of icy, iced over lake. And he says, oh, I've got a cape mode, and it's dope as hell. Check it. This is so cool.
Yeah, so I've gleaned that they each of the color radiance has a different power, and radiance is gravity. Radiant red is absorbing matter, and so after red goes into the water, I think radiant is absorbing the water to become what comes out of the ice.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And Marshall's like, die. And die. And his helmet.
Buster busts out to smash him.
Yep. They're both out of the water now. And his helmet's off. And I can say it now. Her helmet's off. And we see that. I just wanted to scare him. I didn't. Hey, sorry, really, seriously, don't ever show up anywhere uninvited. But you're legit in danger.
And now we have two more of them.
Two more. We get radiant yellow and radiant pink. How many more of these things are there? And the old guy says, we don't know, son. Oh my god, you sound like 1,000 years old. And it's an old man and a young woman, and you don't know what I can do. And they kind of talk, and then they fight a little bit, and then this guy shows up and he says, will your planet die as well? God. And that's how issue 5 ends.
Yeah, that dude's doing some crazy glitchy movement stuff too.
Pretty much. I believe they end up calling him Glitch or something. Or I forget what
his name is. Shift, I think.
Yeah, Shift. That's what it is. But that's issue 5. And normally, I would say that trades usually have 5 issues in them, but this has 6. And I will recommend it to you now if you're interested in superheroes and labor unions and like 40s and 50s kind of. Cowl Volume 1 and Volume 2, you can get them in trade. It's so good, but the way that Kyle breaks up that story is he'll write 5 issues for a full like chapter of the overall story, you know, a full kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he'll do issue 6 as this kind of origin story of a character kind of thing. And that's what he's doing here with chapter 6, Red. But after issue 5, what are your overall thoughts?
It only took 4 or 5 issues to get here, but like this is what I paid for is this kind of stuff right here, and by this point I am actually interested in Nathan. Marshall. Like the dog from Paw Patrol. God, I'm so sorry. but now I won't forget it. Yeah, now I want to see what's going to happen with all these guys, and I wonder how many more colors there are and what these two and their powers are. So I'm involved and invested now.
Yeah, we will get all of that. because they are up to, like I said, 24 issues at this point. We're only at issue 6 now. Issue 6 is the kind of origin story of Satomi, who ends up becoming Radiant Pink. And she and her boyfriend are not not having a great time here. And the family is just like, or he says, I keep telling her we can always look at postponing the wedding. Oh, it's wedding planning. That's what it is. And they're, you know, talking back and forth and all of that with the family on these first two or three pages of the, I think it's either Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner or something. What I absolutely love in this issue, we get to the panel where the grandmother or her mom or somebody says, you two are going to make a beautiful family. You have Satomi smiling. You have him smiling because I don't remember his name off the top of my head. You switch the panel to them in the car and it's the same panel. And you can't see this because you have the print, but on the digital, it like melts into each other. It's so good. So they're driving home and they're arguing and not saying anything and holding hands and all of that. And some guy is outside their apartment and all that happens. And she says, when did you start again? I didn't start again. That was Lloyd from our MK branch waiting on our driveway. I didn't start. And they're arguing back and forth and all of that. And she says, then why was Lloyd in the driveway? I'm sorry, Satomi. I slipped, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure you did.
His name is Owen. And, okay, so his name is Owen. And looking at his face, all as I can see is, I forget what her name is off the top of my head, but the lady that played Mama in Throw Mama from the Train. Danny DeVito was Owen, and her raspy voice, Owen, get me my medicate. And she hits him with the pan, or he hits her with that. Oh, man, that's all I see now.
That lady was in everything back then, and she was awesome.
Okay, so besides that movie, which maybe you and I will have to do a podcast on that. I've been trying to find somebody to do a podcast on Throw Mama from the Train because I absolutely love that movie. But that lady was in an episode of Knight Rider. She was in Killer Kit. She plays a crossing guard.
Oh, my. And
in Killer Kit, somebody reprograms him and makes Kit evil. And William Daniels, the voice of Kit, Mr. Feeny, sounds evil. It's amazing. She plays a crossing guard, and it's like hot outside, so she's wiping her brow with the stop sign that she's holding. And she puts the stop sign on Kit's roof, and she goes to lean up against his door. And she says, oh, boy, what a day. And he says, it's not over yet, lady. it wasn't on his roof. It was on the sunroof. Throws the sunroof up. The stop sign goes flying. Does the automatic open door. Hits her with the door. Hey, young. She thinks a school kid or somebody, a teenage. She doesn't realize it's a computer, a talking car that is a computer. Like, do you want detention? Oh, my God. I'll have to see if I can find a clip on YouTube, or I'll have to do screen share with you later. It's so good. So, yeah.
It's not over yet, lady.
Oh,
did that?
I did. And unless you want to meet a similar fate, madam, I suggest you keep your ample derriere off my hood.
Watch your language, young man, or I'll report you to the principal.
Every time I see any character named Owen, that's the first thing I think of is that lady and Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, she was the Goonies lady, too.
Yep, she was. I've never seen the Goonies. I think I have, really? But I don't. It's one of those weird things where there were so many sequels coming out, and like Beverly Hills Cop 2, Caddyshack 2. Like, there were so many sequels, and I swear there was a Goonies 2 that wasn't as good as the original. And I don't ever, I remember seeing some weird movie thinking it was Goonies 2, and it wasn't. It doesn't even exist. But Goonies was never in my zeitgeist as a child at all.
It holds up, I think, in my opinion. My kids and I watched it, and I enjoyed it.
I'll have to give it a shot. So Satomi and Owens, he says, you see that? They're texting me about the order now. Don't even worry about it. I've got this handled. Thank you for not giving up on us. They hug and all that. They go to bed. She's wide awake. She's, you know, that kind of state of thinking and whatever. And she goes somewhere. Satomi. What answers did you possibly think you were going to find here? We are so screwed. And then a shooting star comes out of the sky and a red explosion. So this isn't a radiant just like coming closer. This is like asteroid level, Armageddon level, Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck level crash landing of this radiant, and we see it next to her silhouetted body that's basically upended. She reaches out for it. She has her magical girl transformation into radiant red. And I think she can control how the suit looks on her. Because like you said earlier, they wanted it to be a mystery of who the character was and how it looked more muscular and male. When she puts it on here, I can clearly see her rack.
Yeah,
I didn't notice
that when this happened. Like, I know this is Radiant Red's origin story. like, I didn't put that together that Red looked masculine in those. But I chalked that up to her power of absorbing material shaping it in a different way. So yeah, totally makes sense. I'll buy that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll buy that for $1 million. And yeah, she decides to go into the bank and kind of talk to them, and the stand kind of like it kind of mirrors like what Nathan was doing on the phone out in LA before he came home in the first issue, where they're like, yeah, we really can't, and we see all this debt, and he points out all the computer stuff, and oh no, it's not debt. It is debt, but it's her credit card. And what happens is Owen has
maxed it out and taken three more and maxed those out too.
Taken more.
So it's worse than it was last night when she was yelling at him.
And he comes in, hey honey, where's the money, Owen? What do you mean? You forged my signature and emptied my account. All of my savings for school. For what? Where is my money, Owen? And she's yelling at him. And you never seemed like you were actually going to go, so I thought I could refill it. I lost a lot, more than I ever told you, and so he gambled it away, I guess, I assume.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he's doing something with it. And Satomi, wait, please. You're right. And he says, please don't give up on me. They hug. She drives away. She sees her radiant red silhouette in the window. She basically punches the window out, lifts the car, and does all this stuff. And then she goes into the MK branch and comes home.
Yeah, she's bolted up. I think she she broke the car, tore it apart, and absorbed the engine.
Yep, she absorbed the engine of the car. And that's how, you know, like you were saying, how she, the absorbing powers make her look like she's a different form than what she actually is. Goes in, robs the bank, comes home. She says, I handled
it.
With all the money. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think after the first six?
I'm ready to buy the second trade.
You mean you haven't already on my original recommendation? I mean, we are doing this for the podcast. I figured
I'm you'd a one-at-a-time kind of guy.
I figured you'd buy all three just to have them at one time. Yeah, you always go into the comic shop weekly, so it'll be there, hopefully. Yep. Or they can order it for you, hopefully. Yeah,
I'll text them after we are finished.
Yup. Yeah, so Volume 1, Radiant Black. I loved it 2 years ago. I love it now. It's so good. It's a story that, like I said earlier, it's a story we didn't know we needed. And it's refreshing to read a comic that has, like, references to other things or, you know, homages to other things, but it is its own thing. It's not trying to be... I mean, people will make the allegory to the Power Rangers because of the Radiant Black, Radiant Red, Radiant Yellow, Pink, and all that, and their multicolored suits, and they have helmets, and they kind of... But that's just an homage to it, but it's not, you know, it's not like they're whatever, but...
We're not flirting with Super Sentai tropes.
Yeah.
Where we're headed, and this is what it looks like when real people encounter these powers and these suits.
Yeah.
It takes them a while to come together. We'll figure that out. And that's kind of what I'm excited to see is where it goes. I'm not yet ready to say I love it or five out of five. I think I have to see where it's going to find out if I, when I look back, like, ah, now I see.
Right.
But it's definitely worth reading. It's definitely worth having on the shelf.
Yep. We are going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some stuff and other things from other podcasts and whatever else. And we'll come back to give you our ratings and close out the show right after this. My ice cream has turned into a shake. Yay.
Ooh.
Love it when that happens. Just drink the damn shit. 131.11 edit. All right, we're back here inside episode 525 inside the pull bag. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joe Reed is here. We have talked about Radiant Black Volume 1, Not So Secret Origin. There is also a cover gallery of all of the covers from the first six issues, and I have so many favorites from this.
I really want that connecting cover.
The connecting cover? Yes, the connecting cover is awesome. The one the two that I absolutely love just as art pieces on their own is issue number 3, cover C, done by Gani Montez. It's Radiant Black, but he's all, like, in purple. Love that. And then the other one, yeah, the connecting cover, the, I think this is what you're talking about, the issue 4, second printing by Marcelo Costa with Igor Monti, where it's the two of them firing their powers. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Yep. I want that. I also want the one that I absolutely love, the one that was actually the last pod art that we did for the previous issue, issue 5, is done by Serge Acuna.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly the one I was looking at. I'm like, yeah, that one.
That one. I'm probably going to have Steve combine a couple of these into what the podcast art will be this time around. But yeah, that I have an idea. I need to find that
that connecting cover. I need to find a large version of that. Sorry, folks. I'm thinking inside my head, but yeah, all these covers.
You're thinking outside of it. That's why you're apologizing.
Yes. I'm not paying attention to my podcast. Yes, absolutely.
A poster of that connecting cover for us. That's where we were going.
That would be amazing. And yeah, Radiant Black Volume 1. It's got a few things that, but overall, I'll give it a 4.5.
I'm going to go with a 4. But why do you say 4.5?
I say 4.5 because I was initially going to give it a 5 because I've loved it so much for the first 2 years of this series. Because really, so when the other co-hosts that were with me originally when we did these, because originally we did them like you go to the comic shop every week and get single issues. We originally did them as single issue episodes.
Mm-hmm.
This time around with you and I, we're doing them via trade. So I kind of fell off after issue 6. And I ended up catching up and reading and whatever else, and then I fell off. It was one of those things where so much has happened in the last 2 years mm-hmm. that I just didn't, I wanted to be able to have the energy and be able to discuss it with somebody with me actually having the ability to record a podcast about a series that I love. So I've kind of been stuck on the first 5 issues for 2 years. As I reread it this time, I saw it a little bit differently. There were, it wasn't anything with the art. It wasn't really Kyle's writing, but like you said, this is your first time with it and you're not really sure about the two white dudes kind of thing. You're not sure which of them you're going to want to follow or which one you want to have the Radiant for Radiant Black.
Yeah. And so far the characters that we know, the hero characters, they're all not exactly likable people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why I think I'm going with 4. Like, the story is good. The art is good. The character designs are good. I can see that somebody cares about this story, which is 90% of it there for me. But I don't like the characters. I can't sympathize with any of them. And I'm not rooting for any of them yet. But yeah. Character journeys and characters changing and becoming different people is always interesting. So I'm excited to see when and if these characters learn lessons that make them better people and better heroes.
Yeah, I kind of sympathize with Nathan, though. I mean, yes, he was in debt. He was failing. He was whatever. But he was going home to give it another college try of restarting his life. He was in a time of transition, and all of a sudden he gets these powers. He has to learn these powers. All of a sudden he gets beaten by this girl and ends up in a coma. So I kind of sympathize with the guy,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I'm still, I don't know. I just love the concept of the series. And for me, it's also the additional things that have come with the series, like the Sam Ewing instrumental score, like the Crisis Couture theme song, which I will have to share with you as soon as we hit the stop button on this.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, 4.5 out of 5 for me, 4 for you. Coming up next on the pullbag, we've got G.I. Joe Castle Fall, which is the one-shot issue closing out the G.I. Joe World on Fire storyline. Eduardo will be back with me for that. And then we've got Heather, Hahi Prime, and myself talking about Livio Remondelli's The Kill Lock, Volume 2, The Artisan Wraith. And then at the end of the month, Joe Reed and I will be back for Radiant Black, Volume 2, Team Up! So that's what's coming here in June on the pullbag. Hope everybody is doing well. We're 6 months into 2023. The year is half over. So, yay. It's summertime. I need a pool. I need to go swimming. I got to figure that out.
Yeah, I do not like the water. a shower is the closest thing I get to a pool. And I will get my ankles wet at the lake as I look for cool geology in the water. I love picking up stones. But nope.
Dude, I thought you were a turtle.
Oh, no, I'm a tortoise. Not aquatic.
Boy. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there's several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio, also @ThePullbag for the show. I am @TFGWithMike. I don't think he uses it anymore, but I still tag him anyway for Joe's Hawaiian shirt. So Joe Reed Geek is still Joe's Twitter name over there.
You can find me there. I'll get your messages eventually. until that dirtbag billionaire sells Twitter, we're boycotting it in this household because that guy's a twit. But you can also find me on Facebook at Geek Stuff Garage Sale.
When is the next garage sale?
We are looking at the last Saturday in October. Last Saturday in September, first Saturday in October, the first one doesn't work out. So we got to hear from the landlord, but we're looking for early fall, and hopefully we'll see some of you there.
Very cool, very cool. Hopefully nobody falls. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Join us next time when we will be discussing, like I said, G.I. Joe Castle Fall with Eduardo M. Fryer. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
I was Joe Reed.
You was? Why was
I was? Oh, you know, whenever, that's how the ending of the podcast, I always hear that. I was Joe Reed for that podcast that you listened to for the past hour.
As always, make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time. We'll be right back. The Crisis Couture song you just heard, Radiant, was used by permission from the band. You can see the permission slip on GeekCastRadio.com, The Pullbag, episode 525.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.